According to Torah law, basic halacha, transferring ownership is not really effective or binding unless you make what's called a kinyan. There are certain halachas how one makes a proper kinyan, which is a certain act of acquisition, which means that if two people basically are involved in a business deal and they agreed verbally, making a commitment regarding a certain situation. If they did not make an actual kinyan, then each one, according to Torah, they can really back down. But then the Shulchan Aruch comes and says, you can legally back down, but it does not mean that it's the right thing to do. There's one thing called legal, which means is that basically if you really want to do so, if no kinyan was made, it was only a verbal agreement, then you can back down. However, Shulchan Aruch says there's something called being an honorable person, means if you give your word, then you should keep your word. Even though, again, it's not legally binding, if someone take you to the Torah, you know, say he can't hold you to it. Yeah, so I said, we can still back down. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes regarding that, and says in Chosh Mishpat Resh Dalet, you'll see why I'm mentioning it, someone who basically conducts a situation with someone, and they're discussing a business union only with words. So Shulchan Aruch says, it's appropriate that you stand by your word. Avopi, even though he did not take any money, no money changed hands. Avopi shleilokach madom in klum, and there's no mashkin, there's no collateral given or taken. And the cholakoyzaboy is someone who basically does back down after you gave your word. Shukhano basically says hareza mechusrei amona. Mechusrei amona means is he's not an honorable person. Loosely translated, he's not a trustworthy person. So it's kedai to mention why I'm mentioning it, because in fact Rabbi Yonah himself gets involved with that, who is way before the Shulchan Aruch actually. And Rabbi Yonah is actually in Shari Tshuva. In Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Yonah writes in Shari Gimel, Oisku Pe Gimel, and he says the following. There he says, Hamavtiach es chaveiro, he says, Lehetiv, one who promises someone they'll do a certain favor for you. I promised. So Mavtiach, if someone's Mavtiach Schaveh Lehetiv Moi, says Rabbi Yoyne, he says, and at the end of the day he says, V'yosim lo'al miloso. It turns out that what he said, he negated his word. He negated his word, his dibur. The Rabbi Yoyne, you have to realize that ki achre, being Asher Omar, that you really said in good faith, Lehetiv Imoi B'loshin Avtocha, U'botach Be'lev Chaveh, and the other person really believed you. In other words, sometimes you say things in jest, people understand you never really meant it. But if you really promise something to someone, and the other person really accepted the promise that you believe that you're going to carry it through, Ein loy lechalel haftachosoy, says Rabbeinu Yonah. One should not desecrate and break his promise, ki zeh derech sheker. Book Odom is like an Odom, he says, oyve bris, like someone who broke a covenant. And it brings the Postik, Sheris Yisrael, Yasa, Avalos, the Postik, and Zephania, that the remnants of Klausel should not do something that is not proper, and so on. And then he goes further. If someone says, he promises, Loseis Matonim Wetis, talking about not an exorbitant. So if you promise someone a large gift, the other person doesn't have too much confidence. But you're talking about a Matonim Wetis, something that you can handle, that you could afford. So you promise someone a Matonim Wetis, Avapish Lehis Chiloshin Havtochi, goes even more. You said, I'm going to give you a gift. You didn't say, Loshin promise, I promise, but you said it. Omer Rabbi Seinu, says Rabbi Yoyne, our Chazal have told us, there's also a lack of being an honorable person. If you said you're going to do it, you're supposed to do it. Because the heart of the recipient relies on you, being that it's a matonim oetis, and so on. And then he goes further, he says, if it's a poor man that you're promising a larger sum, being that he's poor, he believes that you understand his matzav and you're going to carry through even if it's a larger sum. So regarding a poor man, you're doing something that's quite distasteful and quite bad. Ki noda neder, this is considered like a promise, sort of like an neder, and you should not desecrate your words. And then he says further, there are many people who in public, they want to appear that they're generous. In public they say, I'm going to be giving so much and so much. I'm going to giving so much and so much. So the fact that you did it in public and you gained prestige, you gained honor, that itself is machayiv you all the more to carry it through. The chemish is bifnei rabim, loses maton aliyodom. Someone who basically, right, in front of other people, in the public, he basically wanted to show his good graces, how generous he is. That's giving a gift. The hine who can mishalel, right? And he's taking the credit, right? He's taking the credit and he gains honor and it boosts his ego. Hine zoish kemoy haptocha. The fact that he gained honor by his word, because people really thought, oh, look how generous he is. He said it in public. See, that is like a promise. Loinochoin sheyoshoiv mitvorov, and it's not appropriate that he should turn back. Achresh is chabed vihisalel bedover. And so on and so forth. So a component we see what it means is, you know, when you give your word. But in fairness, we have to add another nekuda. And that is, Shulchan Aruch discusses, many times you have a situation, you know, buying and selling. Buying and selling, you know, people agree that, you know, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to sell this to you, and so on and so forth. But then before they actually finalize the agreement, the price changes. Price changes. Common example would be, if someone, let's say, discusses a situation with a particular band for a chasen and for a wedding. Yeah? And here's the price, and it's okay, it's agreeable. So he says to the leader of the band or to the owner of the company, you know what? I'm going to take you, I'm going to use you. All it was a word. But in the meantime, he hears that there's another band does the same job much cheaper. Is he allowed to back down? I mean, again, legally he's allowed to. The question is in terms of breaking a word. Or, for example, somebody has a discussion with a caterer, right? And they say, yeah, the price is, what you're charging me for a couple seems okay. But then he finds out that there's another caterer who's much cheaper for the same thing. So there's a difference of opinion between the Rama in Shulchan Aruch and other Paiskim. And therefore, there are many Paiskim who say that if it's a hefsed mu'ud you're just talking about, which is a minimal amount of difference, then you should really stay and keep your word. On the other hand, it really makes a major difference, being that there was no kinyan made, nothing was really finalized from a legal standpoint. It was merely the word. But if it really comes out, it's a big hefsed, comes a big price change, so many will allow one to back down in that case. So again, so it all depends on fiha inyan, what we're talking about. What is very common, and people, of course, are innocently do that, but it could cause you get involved with this type of a situation, and that is that, let's say a person comes to a bar mitzvah, and he forgot his checkbook. So what does he do? So he goes over to the family or to the bar mitzvah boy. He says, you know what? He says, I'll get home, I'll send you a check. You have to keep your word. There's no kinyan. Now many times, you know, people have an opportunity, you know, you can slip by, you know, I said it, I'll forget it, I just said it. So again, this would be a question of Mechusra Emona. You promised a matana. And when you promise a matana, we learn, if it's a matana, as long as it's not an exorbitant matana, you know, which is really out of your league, but if it's a regular matana, so the appropriate thing to do is one should keep the word, even though there was no kinyan. Can't take it in Torah, can't be Mechayiv, your bezin cannot be Mechayiv you, but Klape Orma Chavera and Klape, which is called the proper way of Anhoges, Hashkofa Satoyle, as we saw from Ben Yoinen and Shulchan Aruch, that one should be an honorable person, that means to keep your word. So now, we go to the Shari Avoida, and it's Daf Lamed Aleph. In the bottom is Paragraph Chof. Daf Lamav in your edition is paragraph Chof in the bottom. And the idea is what Rabbi Yoin here in Shara Avodah in this segment could give a number of illustrations that are not by chance that you're going to recognize, that the whole purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating man was to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this can be indicated in many, many ways in the way that man was created and paying attention to very important details. So we go the following. He starts out. Gambi Yitzira Sohodom, he says. If a person will pay attention to the formation of man, how Hashem forms a person, when a person is conceived. Yishkamis Simonim, there are many indications. There are many indicators. If a person observes how man was created, there are many indicators, the idea, that will demonstrate Ki Iker Yitziroso Hila Voidas Boiroi. You'll be able to see that there are many things, many simonim. There are many things that are basically symbolisms that clearly direct you to the show that the main purpose of man's existence is the Sova Kodesh Baruch Hu. The first item that he points out to is Sharei Yitzira So'odom Ba'aboyim Yoyim. You know, Chazal tells us that it takes 40 days for a fetus really to take form in a mother's womb. Right? Yitzira Savlad is Mem Yoyim. So it takes 40 days. It takes 40 days for a fetus really to take form in a mother's womb. What does it correspond to? It corresponds, says Rabbi Yoyne, that Torah also is Nitna La'aboyim Yoyim. The Torah also was given the 40 days. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemaim. Took him 40 days right till it came down. Lo idea. Shitzirosa shalzeh l'kayim zois. Again, this is like a simon. Like a simon to tell you that the formation of man, the purpose of creating man, was to observe the Torah, which is also given in 40. So here you have 40, and here you have 40. So it's the correlation. The correlation is that this is connected to that. So that is one simon. That is one simon regarding the yitzira of man to show that the purpose is, again, to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's good just to point out, the Gemara in Dorim tells us a very fascinating thing regarding Moshe Rabbeinu himself. The Gemara says that Betchila Moshe Rabbeinu, Hoyolei Metere, himself was learning Torah. He was in Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was learning Torah in Shemayim. Vayei Mishakcho, he was forgetting it. As he learned, he forget, like anybody else. He learns, forgot, learned and forgot. Achi Nitro Bematone, until the Torah was giving him, because he wanted to decide, I'm giving you the Torah Bematone, and now he retained it. For all time. Shenemak, the Pesach says, Vayitein el Moshe kechalois el Rabba. Vayitein el Moshe. Vayitein means the Torah was given to him by Matana. And the Yashar HaKadosh points out, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give Moshe Rabbeinu Matana, that Pesach is after the 40 days and after the 40 nights. Why don't you give him the Matana right away? The answer is, you have to deserve a gift. You don't get a gift for nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu toiled and he learned. And at the end of the day, Lamaisa, you know, a human being is just a human being. Maybe there's some things you remember, some things you forget, and so on and so forth. There are limitations to the human mind. But it's only after Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated Aboyim Yoyim, Aboyim Lailo, his dedication, his commitment to try to absorb and try to gain as much Torah as possible, then you get the Torah as a gift. So in other words, you don't get it just for that. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu had to first show and had to really put in his courage, put in his effort, he had to actually pay his dues, so to speak, and then he was given the Torah, was given to Matana. So that was after 40 days and the 40 nights. The second item, says Rabbeinu Yoyne, to show again another simon, another indicator that the purpose of man was to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Rama Chazal, Chazal saying Shir HaShirim, that HaNeshome Koru Ner. We know that the Neshome is called the candle. Shenemar, the Pesach says, Pesach Mishlei, Ner Elokim Nishmas Odom. The Pesach says that the candle of Hashem, what's the candle of Hashem? Is the soul of a man. And that would might give a shtickle idea why, right, when it comes to your side, right? What do we light? Well, the outside candle, right? Why? Because the candle represents the neshama. And being the candle represents the neshama, so the schus, for the schus, for the neshama, when it comes to the yotzah, we light a candle. Because Ner Hashem, as you see, Ner Elokim, that's Nishma Sodom. So now, so on one hand we find the Pesach clearly describing that the neshama is referring to a candle. What else is referred to as a candle? Va'atere nikreis ner. The Torah also is referred to as a candle. Shenema, again, a Pesach in Mishle. The Pesach says, ki ner mitzveh v'torah or. The mitzvahs and the Torah is compared to a ner. It's compared to a candle that is lit. The candle that provides light. So you have the neshama of a person is called an ner. And then you find that the mitzvahs are Torah. The Torah is referred to as an ner. Say Chazal, the Roma Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, listen, you are holding my candle and I am holding your candle. Meaning, the Torah I've given to you, the Torah is a ner, ner mitzvah. So it comes out that every Jew, every Yid, he's holding a Kodesh Baruch Hu's candle. On the other hand, your neshama is in the hands of Hashem. So it comes out your candle is being held by Kodesh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's candle is being held by you. So of course I'll make a deal. You protect my candle, I'll protect yours. You protect my candle. That's the Torah Kodesh. It's called an air. You have the nair in your hands. I have your nair, your nisham in my hands. So you know what? Say Chazal, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Neiri biyodcho, v'neircho biyodi. So my candle is in your hands, and your candle is in my hands. Says Shemayin Shaliv Ani Yesh Meshaloch. Make sure that you take care, you guard my candle, and then I will guard your candle. Perish. Neircho biyodcho, when it says that my Kodesh Baruch Hu says my candle is in your hands, that's referring to the HaTorah Shenitah Liodom. That's referring to the Torah was given to man. And the necha and your candle is in my hand, that's the neshama. Shenema, we say in Tehillim, and we say that at night when we retire, we say Krishma Shalamita, we say it's also the end of Adoin Olam. Biyotcha afkid ruchi, which means is that in your hands a person acknowledges my neshama, my ruach is deposited in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And very many, there's another pasuk that also substantiates that, the pasuk in Iyid, Ashubiyoda, in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is nefesh kol choy, the ruach kol basarish, the soul of all the living, and the spirit of all human mankind, in the hands of Hashem. So here again, so what do we see? That the neshama is called ner, and again, and the Torah is ner. So the neshama, because Baruch Hu gave man a neshama, but it has to coincide, it has to be connected with the Ner of Torah. Another simon, another indicator that man was created in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, through Kima Mitzvahs, through Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and of course, the Torah. The Ner of the Torah and the Ner of the Neshama are connected. As a matter of fact, just a few years ago, before the last Sima Shas, a very popular entertainer, got a Ben Torah, this one happens to be a Ben Torah, who put out a very special CD for the Kovd Shema Shas. All the Nigunim basically were based upon the psukim and words that deal with the Cheshivas promoting Limud HaTorah. This is before the Shema Shas. And then he also arranged to have a number of particular speakers giving a message on another CD. It was like two CDs together, like a package, regarding something about what the Cheshivas of Torah and Jewish life is, and so on and so forth. So he called me up. Matter of fact, it came recorded right here in the shul. And basically I mentioned him, among other things, was this particular pasuk, Kineh Mitzvah V'Torah. And I mentioned the following, and that is that one of the great geniuses, one of the great goyim, was the goyim of Ritbaz, Rabbi Yankim David Ritbaz. The Ritbaz actually hailed from Slutsk, from Lita, tremendous goyim. He wrote the Pirush and Yerushalmi. But the Pirush and Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yankim David Ritbaz. The Ritbaz that we said hailed from Slutsk. He was a person who had a phenomenal memory. It was said about him, his zikaron throughout Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, clearly, almost like verbatim, everything. It's said that the great goyim, Rabbi Yisrael Chonon, was very despairing, he says, from the greatness of the Ritbaz. The Ritbaz, before he, actually, when he left Lithuania, ultimately he ended up in Eretz Yisrael, but he spent some time in Chicago. So anything, we're talking about the early 1900s. Early 1900s. He spent some time in Chicago, and the matzav, sort of the level of the Jewish observance at that time was very, very on a low scale. As a matter of fact, he saw, forget about the idea of keeping Shabbos, but even the meat that was sold by the butchers. They all spoke Yiddish, by the way. They all spoke Yiddish, but it was literally straight. He said, Mamisha. So as much as they tried to fight, they tried to change around the whole kosher system, it didn't work. As a matter of fact, you have to appreciate, you know, a little bit of Yiddish. What he used to say is, people were taken in, because it's an interesting thing, that those people at that time, talking about, you know, the early 1900s, they were not observant, but they had a very strong background from when they came originally. But coming to America, so they just assimilated in the melting pot of America. But they still spoke Yiddish, and they still had the Hebrew names, the Jewish names. So he writes in the Hagdom, in Shuvas Ritbaz, he writes that people think, Heist Mendel Kemenesten Findan Fendel. Fendel is a pot. Heist Mendel is a rhyme. They think because his name is Mendel, he can eat from his pot. His pot automatically is kosher. It was not. He saw it was a losing battle, so he budgeted. He left. He came to New York, just passing through. And again, New York, he was down the east side, and he gave a drosha, I think it was in 1906, in the Pike Street Shul. And then the Pike Street Shul, he gives the following drosha. Imagine that you're talking about like over 100 years ago. And this is another God observing the matzav in America. And he said the following. He said, it used to be, he said, years ago, he said, in Europe, years ago. Years ago in Europe, he said, used to be small Jewish communities. They were not Talmid HaChachomim. They were not learned people. That they were known, he said, as called, they were known as Mitzvah Yidin. Mitzvah Yidin means is that they kept mitzvahs, but meticulously. They kept mitzvahs very, very detailed. Shabbos was important to them. Kashrus was important to them. Raising their children properly was important to them. Taras HaMishpacha was important to them. They were not Talmid HaChachomim. That's the fact. They were Mechaber Talmid HaChachomim. Yes, they gave Kovet Talmid HaChachomim. They themselves were not Talmid HaChachomim. They were Erech HaYidin. They were called Mitzvah Yidin. So the Ritbaz, he said in the Pike Shul, says, today, in our time, There's no such thing, he said, as being a mitzvah yid. Either a Torah yid or no yid at all. You have to have a connection to limud Torah with someone. It used to be a time, he said, you could be a mitzvah yid, even though you had no particular connection with learning. You had an upbringing, you're committed, you're dedicated. Today, he said, either a Torah yid or no yid at all. You can't exist, you can't survive as a mitzvah yid, and explain it. The pasuk is again ner mitzvah v'torah or. So if you dissect the pasuk, you find like this: a mitzvah is compared to a ner. Ner mitzvah, a mitzvah like a candle. Torah says it's or is a fire, right? Or is a fire. What's the difference, he says, between a fire and a candle? If you light a candle, he says, in your house, the candle is able to burn quite comfortably. You know when? If the windows are closed and you don't have the foreign elements coming into the confines of your home, the candle will be able to burn quite efficiently. The moment, he says, that either the door is opened or you open, he says, windows, and then the wind blows in, the candle cannot exist. A candle can only exist comfortably, he says, if it's protected and it's isolated. A mitzvah is like an air. You want to be a mitzvah yid? Then you have to live in a culture where you're not exposed to the world at large. You're somehow isolated, insulated in your dalanamis. And certainly years ago, of course, we didn't have the media that we have today. The world was very large. Today became a small world. Things that happened, you know, took weeks till information basically was conveyed. Even not forget about one end, even going from one country to the other. Or even within the same country, from one end of the country to the other. So when people lived sort of like an insulated life, and therefore they didn't have the exposure to the elements, we're talking about the foreign element that's foreign to anything that's Jewish and anything that's ethical, you can be a mitzvah yid. Today, he says, we're living in a totally different society. He said, already imagine, 1906, a far cry from what we even have today. Much, much worse today. But he says, Torah, he says, is like fire. What's the nature of fire? Cholila, if a house catches on fire and the wind blows, not only the wind is not capable of extinguishing the fire, if anything, it even fans the flames. And the more wind, the fire, right, strengthens itself and builds on the wind to be able to go even stronger. If you have Torah in your life, so it meets us the challenges. Torah is fire. So the challenges, he says, all the winds and the foreign elements that try to challenge, the fire of Torah is misgaber, is able to strengthen itself and overpower all the obstacles that come in its path. So today, he says, in our days, he says, it's either, he says, a Torah yid or not a yid at all. Because a mitzvah yid means you're like a candle. It means you have to live like a candle. If you live like a candle, isolation, right, like close everything, no computers, no this, no nothing, just stay, don't go too far, only a block here, a block here. Then you'll be able to exist as a mitzvah yid. Today, he says, you need Torah, because Torah is Esh. And when you have the fire of Torah, he says, then everything, he says, you're going to be able to have the power to withstand it, if you're connected to Torah. So that's the name mitzvah of Torah. The next item, says Rabbeinu Yoina. Here he says, we find out and we recognize, if you look into, actually, if you dissect a man, and you basically make an accounting, he says, of how many limbs, how many avarim does he have, how many gidim, how many veins, how many sinews does he have. If you dissect a man, you'll find out that she's serious, or other avodas habayir, we know that, it's a very common knowledge. We know that man was created. If you observe man, you're going to find out that man was created l'avodas avodah, to serve his creator, became a Torah v'mitzvos. Now, the Hinei b'Torah, right? If you basically, you find out that in the Torah itself, you have, we know, Tariq mitzvos, the 613 mitzvos. That the 613 mitzvahs are made up of a combination of Ramach mitzvahs, say 248 positive and 365 negative. You add them up together, you have 613, right? So Ramach mitzvahs, say 248 positive commandments, and then you have additional, and how does it work, by the way? The Ramach mitzvahs, say the 248, these correspond to a person's 248 limbs. We are told by Chazal that man has 248 limbs, which means that every mitzvah corresponds to a certain limb of a person, which means that the Torah is connected to the life of a person. And also the other side, what else do you have? You have 365 shesoh mitzvahs loisasei, 365 negative commandments. These happen to correspond to kenegi shesoh gidim shiriyodom. They correspond to 365 gidim, the sinews, the veins that a person has. So you find out the entire person, the composite of the entire person, is basically correspond to the entire mitzvah satorah, which is 6:13. Here we observe as a result, hence, shi'atziras ha'adam keneged kol ha'mitzvah shebetorah, that the formation of man, the makeup, the physical makeup of man, corresponds to all the 613 mitzvahs. Lo ha'idiyah. So again, this indicates ki ikar yitziroso yehoiso, that the main purpose that man was created, la'avodas b'roi, to serve his creator, ki kirum ha'mitzvah shebetorah, by observing the mitzvah of the Torah, which means, quite simply, that the formation of the body of a person, right, is according to the blueprint of the Torah. The Torah is the blueprint of the formation of the human body. Because the 613 mitzvahs that you have in the Torah correspond exactly to the 613 different parts that man has. Ramach Evor, 248 limbs, that corresponds to the 248 mitzvahs say, to the positive commandments. And then you have the Shesol Loises, the Kereg, the Shesol Gidim. So it's very interesting that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh will mention in Parshas Ha'ikev there's a pasuk that says Kol HaMitzvah, all the mitzvahs, Asher Noichi Mitzav Chol Asos, Ekev, all the mitzvahs, but it says Kol HaMitzvah Lo Shinyochid, every mitzvah, Kol HaMitzvah that I'm commanding you to do, make sure that you keep them, and then it says L'man Tichyun, in order that you'll be able to enjoy life, good life, proper life, healthy life, and so on. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he says, poses the question, why does it say Losh Yochid, Kol HaMitzvah? Kol HaMitzvah, as you say. After all, plural, 613, it's not one mitzvah, the 613. And basically, you say the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he says, the person might say to himself, listen, the 613 mitzvahs, would be so bad if I'll do only 612? I mean, listen, I'm doing a lot. And what about if I leave out 5, you know, and I'll do a little bit less? Are there most of them 613, a little bit more than half, or three quarters? After all, I'm doing quite a bit. From the Torah, said, listen, take a look at your own body. The mitzvahs of Torah, again, the 613 correspond, right? It corresponds to the physical makeup of man. 613 mitzvahs, and then you have 613 parts in your body. When it comes to your body, you're going to say, well, you know what? I have 613, maybe I can give up a finger or so. I can manage. No. For all the money in the world, you don't get to that. Or if you say, I have 2 eyes, and maybe, well, you need 2 eyes, I'll give up 1 eye. You have 2 legs, maybe give up a leg. The Torah says, Kol HaMitzvah, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. All the mitzvahs of Torah have to be viewed as one. Because when one mitzvah is lacking, it's not one mitzvah is lacking. The whole Torah had become deficient. In the same way that the human body, if you're lacking a finger, it's not just you're lacking a finger, that person's a Balmum. The whole person's called a Balmum. Why is it called a Balmum? He's a shleimus, right? He starts completeness on the others. He's lacking one. No. If someone has a deficiency in a particular eva, the person is called. Because it's one person. It's not 613 separate parts that a man has. It's one person. When Shimon, right, puts on film, you say, Shimon put on film. He puts on film on his hand. You don't say Shimon's hand put on film. Why? It's on the hand. Because the hand is part of the goof. It's all one. But Shimon puts on film on his head. You ever say Shimon's head put on film? Nobody talks like that. Shimon put on film. Because the head and the arms, whoever it happens to be, is all part of one goof. So it's all part of one goof. There's no room to take out, I'm taking out this, so I'm removing that one. It becomes a deficiency in the entire person. Kol HaMitzvah, it says, all the mitzvahs are like one mitzvah. What's the raya? L'man Tichyun. It corresponds to your life. The same as in your own life. Right? You are a makeup of 613 different parts, and yet you're not willing to give up by saying, okay, let me give up one of these. No. You understand that every limb that Kodesh Baruch Hu had created has a purpose, and it's there, and you understand that you need it. The same thing, all the mitzvahs that are like one, and therefore you can't say, I'll do this, but I'll leave out that, and you can't pick and choose. So this is again, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says this was the third item, an indicator. The fact is that man is composed of 613 parts, and so the Torah has Tariyag mitzvahs. So the Or HaChaim, that's the Or HaChaim that we pointed out, the Lashon of Kol HaMitzvah. Now, come to Ben Yehuda further, and he says, the Chen Oimer, we also find Ubachar Tobachaim. The Torah says Ubachar Tobachaim that you should choose life, Laman Tichya, in order that you shall live. Ubachar Tobachaim means what's called life. Ubachar Tobachaim is a life of Torah. If you choose a life of Torah, Laman Tichya, then you will be able to live. So Rabbi Yehuda says Ubachar Tobachaim is the gematria, has the same numerical value as the gematria of Tayag. So it's a shtickle problem. Which where do we have Tayag? Well, Ubachata is the gematria a little bit more. It had to be 616. Ubachata be gematria Tayag. So it is alluded by many that we find that if you learn a little bit in Gemara, you find many places that there are certain letters that are mischalif one with the other, which means that many times a ches and a hey, right? Many times a ches and a hey can be interchanged. And b'charto, if you put a hey instead of the ches, then it turns out to be 613. The choice of life is tayag. V'omer, then there's another posik. Posik mitzvah, shemar mitzvaysai v'chayei. Posik says, observe my mitzvahs, then be able to live. Omru zal. Our Chachamim told us the following. When a Yid recites Krishma, so you have the three parashas, you have the three portions of Shema, right? You have Bohafta, then you have the next, which is Vayim Shemoya, and then you have the other one, Vayomer Hashem. So if you add up all of the words, Chazal tell us that you have Ramach Tevas 248 words, Yesh B'Kriyashma. How does it amount to 248 Pirish? Pir, what does it mean? It means Imkeo Melech Nemon, because now there's Agdoma, there's a little introduction. It says Keo Melech Nemon, where a person basically says that Hashem is trustworthy, he's a trustworthy king. That's the Agdoma, Tishma Yisrael. So Keo Melech Nemon, and Baruch Shem Kovid Malchuso. So you have Ramach. So again, and person man also has Ramach Evarim. A person has Ramach Evarim, 248 limbs. So the 248 limbs of a person correspond to the Ramach Tevas of Krishma. So Allah Kodi Bochu. So now, by the way, you realize, so if you need the Kel Melech Nemon, right, you need the Kel Melech Nemon to make up the Ramach, so when we say Shema, when you say it, you know, by davening, together with the Minyan, we don't say Kel Melech Nemon. Kel Melech Nemon is only a Yochid. You don't say Kel Melech Nemon. So that's why we repeat Hashem Elokecha Memes. They have three. The Hashem Elokecha Memes is repeated. By saying Hashem Elokecha Memes, so you add the three in the place of Kel Melech Nemon. So in any case, so Ola Kari Bachu, Shemai Ramach Shali, you keep and you preserve. You guard my Ramach, meaning is, you keep the commitment of Krishma. What is Krishma? Krishma, as we know, is where Yid proclaim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Krishma means a person makabel upon himself Ol Malchus Shemayim. Krishma means that a person accepts upon himself the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you keep my Ramach, you keep the Krishma, you keep the Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim. The Hayichud, Yichud means Hashem's oneness. The Kabbalah is a mitzvah, and accepting the mitzvahs, Nani Eshma, then I will guard and I will watch in turn, I will guard your Ramach, Evarim Shabach. Your Ramach again, Keneged, the Ramach of the Krishma. And then finally, says Rabbi Yoina, Hinei, Shoeved Yaskil the Yeda. An intelligent servant of Hashem, someone who's intelligent has to know, he'll comprehend, Miyetziris Atzmoy. This is the punchline, he says. The truth is, regarding the recognizing of Hashem, a person can come to recognize Hashem, just look at your own physical body. Just look at your own physical body, miyetziris atzmoi, recognized by observing your own physical makeup. V'yovin, and you'll understand, she'ikar yetziris odom, you'll understand that the main purpose of creation is l'yir oisoi, you understand it's to stand in awe before Hashem, l'avad oisoi, and to serve and b'kima teva mitzvahs. U'milvadze, beside that, yesh b'yetziris odom dvorim rabim v'nechmodim. There are other many noteworthy lessons to be derived simply observing man. Just observe, a person delves into the various makeup of a man. There's so many other lessons that a person is able to learn. Ubehem yeda hamaskil es boiroi. And a person can gain knowledge and insight of Hashem just looking at the person's body. Ki be'odom nir mezah ha'toyroh. Because in man you find clues regarding the Torah, the whole mice abrasious in all works of creation. Al kenikra adam oilam kotan. Therefore man is called a microcosm of the world. Man is a microcosm of the world. And therefore Eiv said, from my flesh I can see Hashem. However, says Rabbi Yoina, the ein laharich ki einze mekoymoi. Here's not the place to elaborate. On a simple level, mibsari azalekai. You died through as a creator. How did all the disciplines and the intricate details of the human body, how did it all fall into place? By any mathematical, right, type of a type of an accident, I mean, the ratio to how many powers, to how many million, to one, that things will fall into place exactly where they are and things functioning you recognize the tremendous design, the intricate design and detail that is the creator. It's the common moshul that the Chavis HaVavis tells you is that you leave the room and you see someone there with a there's a paper on the table with a pen and an inkwell. You come back and you find out a couple of hours and you see that there's a beautiful handwriting on the piece of paper. In addition to the beautiful handwriting, the message happens to be very significant, very well designed, and a beautiful piece of poetry. And you ask the person, he says, who wrote it? And the person says, I didn't write it. Well, how did it get on the paper? And he tells her, well, you know what, I'll tell you what happened. I had a tray and I had an inkwell on the tray. It was a piece of paper over here on the left side. I tripped. The inkwell, right, overturned, and the ink fell on the paper and happened to design exactly this letter. Would you believe it? It'd be absurd. It's impossible. By any stretch of the imagination, by chance of any kind, they have all the details, right, of an accident of an inkwell turning over. Look at the human body. What about the human body? That's the human body. What about all the thousands and thousands of different species who have their own nature that Kodesh Baruch Hu created? And the climate that Kodesh Baruch Hu put man in to be able to survive. The sun would be further away, closer away, wouldn't be able to survive. If anything would not be, if the planets would not move in the proper way, if something would go out of whack, we see what happens. Kodesh Baruch Hu decides to make a little change. We see when earthquakes happen. We see when things are not exactly the way they're supposed to be. Everything with such precision. The old saying is, you know, the Big Bang Theory, you know, we say when two cars, right, when two cars crash, it doesn't produce a limousine. So that's the idea of Moshe. So you recognize that there is a creator. Things just don't happen by themselves. So let's take a look at what's at the sheet now. All right, the first item that we have over here is right, is on the piece of Shaar HaAvoda. Okay, we have the three lines again of Shaar HaAvoda, so we'll know what we're talking about. So we had the Shaar HaAvoda we had, where Ben Yoni pointed out, he said, Kigam b'yitziras Adam, these were the opening lines that we started today. Kigam b'yitziras Adam, in the formation of man, there are many indicators. Yishkam b'simonim lo'idia, ki ikir yitziroso hil avoidus b'eroid. There are many indicators that the main purpose of man is to serve Hashem. You can tell by the formation of man. Man was formed in 40 days. The Torah also was given for 40 days. To show what was the correlation? To show that man's purpose is Torah. So, the very interesting thing is, brought down the Sefer Oisei Tavoid, but let me say, you bring down very interesting for the Beis Halevi. Let's take a look. Beis Halevi, of course, the father of Chaim Brisker, Ho'inyan Bazan Nire. If you want to see the correlation between man and Torah, you want to see the correlation. Ki Ho'odom HaSholem, because when man is really, an Odom HaSholem means when man fulfills his mission. When man really fulfills his mission in a perfected way, that he serves Hashem properly, Aydikim HaTorah V'Amitzah Nasa Atzmoy Kesefer Torah Mamish. In other correlation, 40 days Torah, 40 days Yitzhiras Avlad, means that man becomes a Sefer Torah. The Kedusha, the holiness that man is able to really, to be able to transform, he's able to elevate his body, man becomes a living Sefer Torah. You think about a Sefer Torah, the Aron Kodesh? Man, by observing, being an Odom HaSholem properly, following the Kiyum HaTorah, being Mekayem HaTorah in the Mitzvah, man himself becomes a Sefer Torah Sholem. So it brings down Ayin Beis Halevi, he says, Bahagdomah, the Beis Halevi, in his introduction to the Beis Halevi, there's a whole sugya there, Mesechtes Ksubis, and the Beis Halevi there comes out that the guf shel Talmud Chochem Aloy Meteirah, the guf of a Talmud Chochem that learns Torah, is not merely a Tashmish de Kedusha. For example, take a Sefer Torah, right? So you have the mantle. You have the mantle. So someone might think, right, so the mantle, of course, right, is on top of the Sefer Torah. The mantle surrounds the Sefer Torah. You might think that Talmud Chochem learns Torah is like the mantle of a Sefer Torah. So they say, no, you make a mistake. The Talmud Chochem learns Torah is not the mantle. He's the Sefer Torah himself. The mantle of a Sefer Torah is a tashmish the Kedusha. It serves, right? It serves the Kedusha of the Torah. It just serves. But the mantle itself is not the Sefer Torah. A Talmud Chochem, the guf shel Talmud Chochem, says the Beis Halevi, Aloy Meteirah, is not simply tashmish the Kedusha. El ha'v guf Kedusha. He himself becomes the actual Kedusha, like it says, Kos v'maluach lebecha, inscribe the Torah, right, into the recesses of your heart. So your heart becomes itself a shtik sefer Torah. V'lachein, therefore, k'moish inesinas ha-Torah ha-barbeim yoyim. So if man himself becomes a sefer Torah, well, the Torah itself, how long did it take for the sefer Torah to come about? 40 days. So man himself, who can become a sefer Torah, his formation is also 40 days. Kach yitzirus odom sheyesh lekedusha sefer Torah, have barbeim yoyim. So the truth is, interesting thing, I have here, you see, next time, Yalkut Mishlei Chofetz Chaim. The truth is, in the Chassidish world, was said way before the Chofetz Chaim. And it's very talking, maybe the Chofetz Chaim heard it, or maybe he said it on his own. Because we have it here written from the Yalkut. But it's very well known, the Sifra Chassidut Bishem, the Rebbe Rabbinim of Pshischa. The Rabbinim of Pshischa once said the following. He said, it's very clear, he said, that a person can attain the level of being a Sefer Torah. So you look and say, really? A person can become a Sefer Torah. And Rabbi Rabin really explained it logically in very simple terms. What is a Sefer Torah? What do you think a Sefer Torah is? Well, to put it mildly, a Sefer Torah is you take the skin of an animal. Yeah. Or the Vergut. You take the oil of a behemoth, right? Take the skin of an animal, which is an animal. And what happens? You take some ink and you inscribe on the skin of an animal words of Torah, and all of a sudden the skin of an animal becomes elevated to the highest level of Kiddusha, becomes a Sefer Torah. Said Rabbi Rabinin, if oil behemoth can become a Sefer Torah, oil Odom cannot become a Sefer Torah. Oil Odom, a man who not only, it's not just writing on him, who eats Torah, who breathes Torah, who lives the life of Torah. He demonstrates Torah, he reflects Torah. Is he any less, is his skin any less than the skin of an animal? And the skin of an animal can become a Sefer Torah, because that's all it is. And look at the Kiddush it has. So the skin of a human being, the body of a human being, who actually represents Torah in his behavior, in each and every way, certainly can become a Sefer Torah. So that is, I said, in the name of Rebbe Rabinim. And interesting enough, Chofetz Chaim says the same thing. Let's take a look here. Sefer Torah Chai. Call Yehudi, says the Chofetz Chaim, Royaloi Sheyishaf. A person should have ambition. What should be the ambition of a Yid? The ambition of a Yid should be Leo Sefer Torah Chai, to become a living Sefer Torah. That should be the ambition, says the Chofetz Chaim of a Yid. Ambition of a Yid should be to become a Sefer Torah. Zor Sameres, Zayin Aleph, it means Zor Sameres. What it means is Sheyishaf Lekach. You have to strive for that. You have to set it as a goal. Shetochu Olav Kedusha Sefer Torah. Now, doing mitzvahs is a big thing, says the Chofetz Chaim. But that's far from becoming yet a Sefer Torah. Look what he says. Now, don't be satisfied just doing mitzvahs. Lasos mitzvahs, inyan gadolu. Avada. To do mitzvahs is an inyan gadol, is a great thing. But all the mitzvahs do not amount to one piece of Torah. Avol kol ha-mitzvahs einin shoves afilo ledovarechot min ha-Torah. Chofetz Chaim assumed that we know the source. The source is the Yerushalmi. We say every day in the davening, we say early in the morning, we say Eilu Dvarim Shem Laim Shir, and we conclude, we say the Stam of Torah Keneged Kula, that right, with all the mitzvahs, B'kecholim and Alvayos Hameis and all the things, all the admirable things. But at the end of the day, what do we say? The Stam of Torah Keneged Kula. So come to Yerushalmi in Peyon, the Yerushalmi says, on the Pasuk, so Pasuk says, Kol Chafotzecho La Yishvu Bo. Kol Chafotzecho, whatever Hashem really likes, do not amount to Torah. What does Hashem like? Hashem likes you to do mitzvahs. So the Lashon of Chazal is, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulon, all, Einen Shavois L'Dovrechet Min HaTorah. Do not amount to one. So says the Chofetz Chaim, so therefore, doing mitzvahs is an inyan gadol. But kol ha-mitzvahs einen shoveis afilu ledovrecha min ha-Torah, don't amount even to one inyan of the Torah itself. Ki ne'er mitzvah v'Torah. He also said, mitzvah is like a candle. As bright as a candle is, it's only a candle. Can the light of a candle compare to the sun? Of course not. A mitzvah is like a ne'er. Torah is like the or. The Chofetz Chaim says the or means it's like the light of the sun. So you can't compare the two. He says, as great as mitzvahs are, mitzvah he can air. Ne'er mitzvah. Mula Torah, right? If you stand the candle, the mitzvah, which is like a candle, mula Torah shikashemesh, hoyis a mitzvah, when a person does a mitzvah, what happens is nishma seita oyla. If a person does a mitzvah, his mitzvah, right? His nishma goes up. Of course, his nishma becomes elevated. Avala hoyisik b'Torah, Kudushoso, the Kedushas HaTorah really mamish, it becomes planted in his brain. Kudushoso, the holiness of the Torah, Chayderes, it really penetrates the Torah Chmoichoi. Datoi V'sichla, it takes over the entire person. The entire person becomes transformed. V'chol Mehusoi Haruchnes Miskadeshes. The whole spiritual, he says, the whole spiritual mitzvah of the person becomes sanctified. Tamil Chocham Shemes, Kesefer Torah Shenisrach. Chazal say, if Talmud Chacham dies, it's like a Sefer Torah. What's the din? We should never hear, but if a Sefer Torah, you hear Sefer Torah is burnt, you rent your garments, you rise Kriya. Kriya. Talmud Chacham Shemes, Chazal says, it's like a Sefer Torah Shenisrach. So the Chofetz Chaim, so you're going to say, how can a human being become a Sefer Torah? Quite simply, if the cloth, he says, right, if the parchment, Maklapa osu me'or behema, miskadish, becomes holy, mishum shekoizim all of us, I say, Satoiro, simply because we wrote some letters of Torah. So the cloth becomes, right, Kedush Satoiro, Kalvachayim is certainly, moichu shalogam, that absorbs the Torah within the mind. Certainly, Shuanasik is Sefer Torah Chai, certainly becomes like a living Sefer Torah. So, I can tell you a very, very beautiful incident. It's a fadnia de Bachonon we have over here regarding the Nitziv. The Nitziv, of course, was in the Volozhin. So, after, of course, behind the Volozhin was the Talmud of the Goyin, right? Later on, the Yeshiva continued. Then you have, of course, the Nitziv of Volozhin was the Rosh Yeshiva. With Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. So Bechonan gave a shmuz once to his yeshiva, Bechonan Wasserman, and he said the following thing. So that's a very beautiful maise, and let's take a look at that maise. It was Besich HaMusris, it was a Musa shmuz Bechonan gave, Ashenosa HaGoyer Bechonan Wasserman Zatzal. He gave the following shmuz before Talmide Yeshivosa Bebranovich, right, in Lithuania, Bebranovich. Boy Soichach, the purpose of that shmuz was, Al Goyru Ma'alosom Shalomole HaTayre. That's what Rosh Yeshiva is talking about, right? The Yechishevis of those that are Omel Batayre, those who toil in Torah. That was the Shemuz. What did it bring out? Ashigufa Nafsil Nechapsa Shatayre. Remember what we saw in the Chofetz Chaim. But Chon brought out that the Yechishevis of a Talmud Chacham is, it's not that he gains knowledge. Yechishevis of a Talmud Chacham is not just that he gains knowledge. He becomes a Shtik Torah. Becomes a Sefer Torah. That was the Shemuz that Bochon gave. And he prefaced it with a Gemara Malkus, which we might be very well familiar with, that Rav, as a matter of fact, gave Musa and he said, Kameti Pshoye Shalenche. How foolish people are. Why are they foolish? Because Rav observed in his time that many people would stand up in front of a Sefer Torah, they would not stand up in front of a Talmud Chacham. And Rav said, you are being foolish. If you're standing up for a Sefer Torah, you should stand up for a Talmud Chacham as well. So Rav said, Kameti Pshoye Shalenche. He said, how foolish people are. The Kaimi, they stand up, become a Sefer Torah. If Sefer Torah burns in the room, they stand up, right? So Rabbi Chonon was Mamshech, and he related the following story that took place in Volozhin. Very, very fascinating story. The Maisa was, and to save the time, I'll tell you, the Maisa was the following. The following was on a Simcha Seir. It was a Simcha Seir. And the Nitziv of Volozhin was carrying a Sefer Torah and was on the way to go to the Bima. On the way taking the Sefer Torah to the Bima, I should mention the following thing. The Netziv was the son-in-law of Rabbi Itzel of Volozhin, and Rabbi Itzel of Volozhin was the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. That's how it goes. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was the Talmud of the Goyin, the founder of the Yeshiva of Volozhin, right? The mother yeshiva of Lithuania, all the Lithuanian yeshivas. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was the father of Rabbi Yitzchak of Volozhin, and Rabbi Yitzchak was the Shver, was the father-in-law of the Netziv. Now, okay. So the Netziv was carrying the Sefer Torah, and it was on the way to the Bima. He tripped, and the Netziv and the Sefer Torah fell to the ground. So the Oilam very, very quickly went to pick up the Sefer Torah. The Bishop of Volozhin was standing there, and he says, no, first you pick up the Netziv, that's the living Sefer Torah, then you pick up the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Chonon related that for Maisa. Because who's the real Sefer Torah? The real Sefer Torah is the Talmud Chacham, who learns Torah that we are supposed to learn. That is a Chetzah Shel Torah. The Sefer Torah is going to wait. If you pick up the Netziv first, that's the essence of the mice over here. You see here, the Netziv, by the way, the Netziv's name was Naftali Tzvi Yehuda. So Tzvi Yehuda, the way, by nickname, Tzvi is Hersh, right? Tzvi is Hersh, Herschel, Tzvi. And Yehuda is the nickname is Leib, or Leib. Hersh Leib, they used to call him Hersh Leib. So Rabbi Itzel, when the Netziv fell, with the Sefer Torah, he said, first pick up with Hersh Leib, he says. He said, then you're going to pick up the Sefer Torah. Look at the last four lines from the bottom, just from the bottom. Leharim Chilo, at the bottom. Lahorim tchilas of Heshleim. Didn't say the Achak of Sefer Torah. Ki al kein sayim Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan concluded and he said, Chazal Toras, tipshis. It's a tipshis to give, right? To give extra covered more to a Sefer Torah, lahadif a Sefer Torah, to give the Sefer Torah, right, a higher rank, or also Urias, which is made out of, right, panels of parchment, of Pnei Sefer Torah Chai, over a living Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yoyim is telling us, the Yetziris Ha'odom is Aboim Yoyim, and the Torah is also Aboim Yoyim, Aboim Lailo, till we ever take out the Torah. And the message is why? Because man himself is like a Torah. Torah took 40 days, the formation of man also. That is the way, the Madrega, that a man is able to reach to become a living Sefer Torah. So we're going to conclude here, go to number 5. This is really a message of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he writes it in the Shas, the Shuvas Igros Moshe. We're going to be quoting Igros Moshe, Yoredei Chelegimol, Simen Ayin Aleph. All right, let's take a look here. And this is basically Hadrochel Chinuch Habonim VeTalmidim. Ma'igus Moshe. The Moshe is giving, this is just part of this, that's quite a lengthy tshuva over there. But we took out like an excerpt of what the Moshe writes. He says, Gam B'Doros Rishonim, he says, Chinuch, even the earlier days, going back way back hundreds of years. Gam B'Doros Rishonim, says Rav Moshe, Rotsa Hashem Yisborach, Hashbocha wanted, Sheyiru Lahazbil Talmidim, to explain to Talmidim Ikra Emunah. But Moshe is saying it's important to teach Emunah in the classroom. You hear that? It's important to teach Emunah in the classroom, not to rely, well, if I see tzaddikim, right, they believe in Hashem, and they're observing tzaddikim and great people, so Mamela, I'm going to be a mammon. No. But Moshe says it's important to teach Emunah in the classroom. The fact is, you can go through a yeshiva system, right? Go through a yeshiva system and never hear the word of Hashem mentioned once. You hear the Shor Shinog HaSaporo, right? You hear all the sugyas and shas, but you never hear the word of Hashem, never mentioned at all. Go through it. Rashi's name, Tosis, Rambam, everything. But Hashem's name, you never hear mention. He used to say that people go to supermarkets, you know, then they become religious because they see the prices are high and they say, oh my God, they say. So that's inspiration. But the idea is that Rav Moshe, even the Deus Rishon HaKadosh wanted to explain to Talmidim Ikra Emunah. It's said many times, you know, when you talk about today's situation and you talk about the phenomenon, you know, it's a troubling situation to talk about children at risk. And the common expression is children off the derech. And someone retorted, they're not off the derech, they're never on it. Because to be on it, they had to really have a real feeling for what Yiddishkeit is all about. There had to be a time that they really felt they had a munah. And if they abandoned, that's called being off. But they never really had it, they never really grasped it. It was just going through the motions. So not really off the derech, they were never on it. So these are things that have to be fostered, these are things that have to be developed, these have to be nurtured. So Moshe is saying, even the older generation, because Baruch Hu wanted that to explain to the Talmid and Nikra Amun of Yesh Eitzah Nechoina. Look what Moshe says. There's a good Eitzah, Shetzorach HaMoire. He said, the Moire, the teacher, Lahamtik Lohem Amun B'Shem Yisbarach. He said that the Moire, the teacher, should really teach them Amunah Bein B'Etzah Mabriya, talk about Hashem creating the world. Ubein Shuruah Nois Nechayas, and the fact that Baruch Hu gives you life, the fact you're breathing, it's not natural, not automatic. Hashem is giving you the ability to breathe. The Zonim of Fanis Tachoel Hashem is giving you panosis, sustains us, the fact we're able to find food and to be able to eat food. Asher Bilodov, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input, Yefshe Lichyas Afsho Achas. Even for one moment, you couldn't be able to exist. That's important to drive home that point over and over again. The Chayin Rimun also have to have belief that Hashem gave us the Torah. It's also to be Torah Mina Shemayim. You have to believe the Torah Mina Shemayim. The Chayin Rimun is Shinosin HaTorah Vamitzvahs. Ulaham Tikom, and to make it, right, to make it, give flavor to it, Asher Yedu Shekir Ma Mitzvah, they should understand that the Mekai Mitzvah is worth more than all, he says, than all the wealth in the world does not amount to the Kiyum of even one Mitzvah. You should understand that Kiyum Mitzvah, Yoker Mikol Hoyin Vizov, it's more precious, says, from any fortune, Umikol Tanugis Oilam, from any pleasure in the world. Kikoyna Bezachayin Esach, because by being Mekai Mitzvah, you're getting eternal life. Nothing in this world can give you eternal life. It's only Kiyum HaMitzvahs. Shesho Achas, just one moment in this world. By doing Mitzvahs, one moment in this world, you often call Chayu Elam Hazeh. That's one way. The other way is also, so all the pleasure of this world does not amount to one moment, he says, in the next world. Shemalimut Kazeh, by teaching and driving this home, he says to Talmidim, Bedvorim Ne'imim, saying in a very pleasant way, Lahara is to show the difference between those that pursue Olam Hazeh, they're always pursuing, and the trouble that they get into, and all the... see the difference and see when you see Elohim, the pleasure. You can imagine the pleasure that a person like a Gadol Bishoyel, like a Moshe, like learning about Gemara, that you can imagine that no one in this world is happier than him. It's seeing the Gadol Bishoyel, the way they make a bracha, the way they make a mitzvah. Look at the difference, how their life to those that pursue Elam Hazeh. And you keep doing that, he says, until until it will really penetrate that you feel that you want to become Bnei Torah, he says, and so on and so forth. So go to the last line. There's that Tzorach called Moira Moira. Every Moira, he says, every Rebbe Lahashish B'leva Talmidim. Every Rebbe should see to plant this in the hearts of the Talmidim. And Munamitis. And also to love the Mesikas HaTorah. To recognize the pleasure and the sweetness of Torah. That's another problem. The problem today's system is that many that learn yeshivas, they don't have the Torah does not give them a sipukah nefesh, which means is they don't appreciate the learning, and the reason is why, because the level of learning is not the same for everybody, and therefore if they don't feel that they really are accomplishing, then they don't have again the satisfaction, and if they don't feel again that they're accomplished, then they can look elsewhere, because there's a need that you have to have what's called a sipukah nefesh, that a person has to be satisfied and feel that he's accomplishing in one way. They can't find it in the kosher area, they're going to find it, look for it in another kosher, a different area, and therefore as Rav Moshe said, the importance is if we are able to give them the ahava satayra, the mesika satayra, and the sweetness of Torah, and so on, and that's what we daven every day. We say out of no Hashem, please Hashem make the Torah sweet every day, because that's the key. Because when you if you're going to find the Torah sweet, it's going to feed on itself. You're going to be attracted to it on your own. But if you don't find the Torah sweet, just to do it because you have to do it, well then, sometimes you'll be more successful, and unfortunately other times, you'll just be turned and dragged into a different situation. So we have in the bottom, the last four lines here, five lines, this is something that everybody knows, must have heard, anybody certainly heard of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe spoke about the fact that we find in the early days, going before the Second World War, you had a lot of Yidden, you know, in New York, East Side, wherever they are, Yidden who came back from Europe, even Yidden Talmid HaChomim, they couldn't withstand the challenges of Shemir Shabbos, which was very, very difficult in those days, Shemir Shabbos. And even if they did, but many of them, the children didn't follow. Why is it that the children didn't follow? And Moshe said it's because when the parents would come home, you know, from shul, and the realizing the great test and the sacrifice that they're keeping Shabbos, they would say, oh, it's a Shvetzer Zanayid. If children hear that attitude, so they say, you know, it's a Shvetzer Zanayid, you know, you can do it. For me, it's too Shmer, it's Shmer, for me. The idea is good. The idea is to be able to transmit that keeping Shabbos or whatever it is with a tremendous simcha. And if you do it with a tremendous simcha, that observing Yiddishkeit is a pleasure in life, then that will be transmitted over to the children to want to do it also, because they'll see and recognize the simcha sachayim. So bring it down from the bottom over here that mefursim shebir b'zeh agoyin Moshe Feinstein. Loma nevdu min ayahadu tzatzoeim shel mahagrim. Why were lost from Yiddishkeit? He says the offspring of the right, those that emigrated, rishonim Europe and America, those that basically that came the immigrants. In the last century, Allah, even though he says the others, they still kept Shabbos. How come the children didn't? But dig the kubaloche. Heyo is because she loved the melu, because the children saw by the fathers eskima yahadus, but often as the shvetz is anayid. So if they saw, even the father kept Shabbos and did the right thing, but he said it. It's a sacrifice. If Yiddishkeit is a sacrifice, then children says menta. I can't sacrifice. I don't have the power to sacrifice a Jew. So he said, "Kedei Shem Shichu Yiddishkeit." If you want to be successful in Yiddishkeit for the future generations, you have to show the simcha and the pleasure of Kima Torah and Mitzvah. It's not a burden, and that is what was missing. So speaking about Rav Moshe, so let's just conclude here, literally another minute. The point I would have in the situation: you have many, many people who serve the klal. Many people serve the klal, and they're involved in many, many good things. But at the same time, it's very important to strike a balance. What are you doing for your family? You know, when you say that charity begins at home, we're not only talking about money, you know, money. Make sure that you support your family. Don't squander your money just elsewhere, you know, doing good things at the expense of your family. But also talking about giving your time. Yeah, people out there, let's call them askonim, but people are volunteers and doing very, tremendously good work. But at the same time, when they come home to their own house, nothing. Nothing. They're never there for their own family. They're never there for the children. Never there for the wife. If there's anything they may have to do at home. No. But when it comes to the outside, they do things. And that is really a problem that many people fall through and don't understand that. So what we want to point out is the following. You become overwhelmed. And you can imagine now, if you're talking about a Godel Hador who has the world's problems on his shoulders, but he also has a wife, he has a Rebbetzin, he has a family, how to deal with it. So I'm going to tell you something, and we're speaking about Reb Moshe Feinstein over here. So I'll tell you something that Reb Reuven himself related the following situation. Reb Reuven, of course, the son of Reb Moshe Feinstein. It says, the bar mitzvah of Reb Reuven, Reb Moshe Feinstein's son, happened to coincide one particular year, which was at that his bar mitzvah year, the same Shabbos of the Aguda Convention, the annual Aguda Convention. And anybody knows a little bit, the Aguda Convention, Reb Moshe being, of course, one of the Gedol Hador, if not the Gedol Hador, he would be a primary speaker, or the primary speaker. And we could imagine if he does not attend, you know, so that's a reflection, and it's glaringly obvious that he's missing there. And the whole, as they say, the highlight of the whole convention, and certainly it becomes dropped a few notches, the importance and the chashivas of attending that kind of a convention. But at the same time, with the bar mitzvah of his son. So here it was, his son. So we're celebrating the bar mitzvah. So how could a beloved, he said, father, how can he miss it? So it was a conflict in the situation. So the situation was that on Thursday morning was the Hanukkah Tefillin, was the day of putting on tefillin. So the day of putting on tefillin, he said, the bar mitzvah boy, he said, received an aliyah. It was in Fes Yishalayim, as a matter of fact, he received an aliyah. And all the family members were there, and so on, with the modest suda. And we came to the Shabbos of the Aguda Convention. He says, Reb Moshe was there. Reb Moshe went to the Aguda Convention. So they asked Reb Reuven, by the way, Reb Reuven's son's bar mitzvah. So Reb Reuven's son. They asked Reb Reuven, how is that your father abandoned the Simcha? It's your Simcha. It's his grandson's Simcha. How is it that he went away for Shabbos? And Reuven says, you know why? The reason he says is because deep in my heart I knew always, and my father felt it, that he knew that he loved us. And Amela, even if we'd go away, we understand he had to go away. It would not be any reflection of something that would take away. And he gave three reasons to show the demonstration. He said that Reb Moshe, he said, why we were so secure, he says, in the love that Reb Moshe had, he says, for his children, to his grandchildren. And he put it as follows. He said, when he himself was a child, three things. When he was a child, he says, he reminisced his father, of course, used to get up very early in the morning to learn. So he said, at 6 o'clock in the morning, he says, Reb Moshe would come to the room of his then little son, Reb Reuven. Reb Moshe would come into the room, and he would take his clothes, he'd take Reb Reuven's clothes, remove the clothes that were there, and he would put it on the radiator to have the clothes to be nice and warm. Keep it there for about a half an hour, and then half an hour later we'd go and wake up Reb Reuven. It's time to get up, come to Davin, to make sure that he had warm clothes. He says, because of course, you know, not to be chilled by the freezing New York weather. And this would be the daily occurrence, the daily thing, he says. So imagine seeing my father having this and this, he says, to make sure that my clothes are warm, putting it on the radiator, 6 o'clock in the morning, that when I get up, to have the clothes warm. Second thing that he said, Reb Reuven said, I remember something which was very memorable. He said that there was a time that they spent the summers in a Connecticut bungalow colony. That's where the Feinstein family spent the summers. Now, in that particular bungalow colony, there was not many facilities for children to enjoy. So he says, the owner of the colony from time to time would take his pickup truck into town to purchase supplies for the guests. So at the time, so when the owner took his pickup truck to go into town, it was a pickup truck which had an open back, so which had hay, lined up with hay, and children would take the children of the colony, they would take them on for the ride, and they would enjoy the bumpy ride going to town and going back. Reb Moshe always had a learning seder, he said with Reb Reuven, in the summer you also have to learn. So he had a learning seder that would learn with him. So while in the middle of learning, all of a sudden they hear that the pickup truck is rattling his engine, an indication that place is going down to town. Reb Moshe says, we're going to close the Gemara and you're going to go on the truck. He says, but we're learning. He says, listen, if you miss the truck now, you're going to miss the ride for today. But we'll learn later, he says. That'll wait. So another situation, he says, Reb Moshe, it's important, of course, that learning was to him. He also understood the needs of a child. But the child, he has to have this, you have to have learning, but you have to have some free time also for yourself. But close the Gemara in the middle of learning, he says, that'll wait. We'll continue later. But go and have the truck and take the ride there on the truck. And finally, he said, the other situation was a simple situation. Reb Moshe would have many times many different types of guests at the table. So Reb Moshe would have his seat, which would be at the head of the table wherever he sat. Reb Reuven, he made sure his son would always be sitting to his right. In other words, meant to say, no matter who the guest was, could be as choshev as he was, but his son would be sitting right next to him. In order, very simply, he says, why? Because we find this in our situation. You have people, you know, every Shabbos they have guests and guests and guests. They have two couples, three couples, four couples. What happens to the kids? The kids are somewhere pushed in the back. They're not part of the Shabbos table. They have nothing. They're sitting there, they're bored. And sooner or later they're going to get up on the table and you can't blame them. You can just come yelling, they'll come to the table, say Shabbos table. What are you running around all over the place? Ramosha understood that no matter how many guests you have at the table, but the covet of the child has to be right there, and he has to be part, of the Shabbos experience. And Moshe said the following Taich. It says in Perek Aleph, it says, V'yiru aniyim b'nei beisachos. Simply put, it means is, a person should treat poor people, right, as family. V'yiru aniyim b'nei beisachos. A person should be mekar of poor people. V'yiru aniyim b'nei beisachos. Treat poor people as members of your house. So Moshe says, listen to the lashon. Treat poor people as bnei bayis, but they shouldn't take over. Treat them as members. That was a Moshe. So this is how Torah teaches us, and we see from Gedolei Yisrael we learned the proper way how to be noeg. Mavai, we should be able to get a little closer to her.